Hello there. Welcome in. It is time for Three Guys Before the Game. Thank you so very much for tuning in to our 95th episode. Three Guys Before the Game with the Senator Brad Howe and former Mountaineer, Big 12 honoree, Nathan Adrian. Three Guys Before the Game is brought to you by BetLucky. BetLucky is ready for you to download its sports betting app. Sports wagering now available in the state of West Virginia, and sports betting is available on the BetLucky app. All you have to do is download it on your place that you go to get your apps, and you will be in business. Just pick either what casino you'd like, Mardi Gras or Wheeling Island. Right now, the introductory offer gets you two times your first bet back and bonus money up to $20. It's Bet Lucky. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. So it will be the Mountaineers against the Baylor Bears on Saturday. It will tip off at 2 o'clock back here, 1 o'clock Waco time. And this is our footloose and sassy edition of Three Guys Before the Game. Obviously, we'll talk more Mountaineer basketball than anything here on the program, but what happened last night in the Duke-North Carolina game, I still to this second, it just makes me, like, say wow. Not that a shoe was blown out, but it was a shoe that was blown out in Duke-North Carolina, one of the great rivalries of all time. The shoe that was blown out took place in the first 40 seconds of the game. Mm-hmm. The shoe that was blown out was being worn by the number one player in all of college basketball, and a player who could now, for years to come, be one of the great NBA players, NBA stories. And the shoe that was blown out caused a knee injury, fortunately, what they're calling a mild sprain. That all happened in the first 30-plus seconds of that game, which to me, I've never seen anything like that happen. The build-up to a game, and then in seconds, it changes. That was amazing to me. Amazing.
And how about the discussion points coming off of that? Who has more to lose in that situation? Nike? That had a shoe blowout in the moment. Yes. Zion Williamson, who, as you said, if he's able to come back and play, thank goodness for him, that wasn't a serious knee injury, because what does that bring forth? All of the questions about should you sit, should you not sit. It's one thing if you miss a bowl game, it's another. Would you actually sit down the stretch of a college basketball season with the NCAA tournament coming? Those are different things right there. But that kid last night had to, for a moment, when the shoe goes one way and the knee goes the other, there were a lot of people around that kid thinking, oh my God, that's holding the lottery ticket in your hand, driving to Charleston, getting ready to cash it, and the window's down and it flies out the window and it goes in the back of a paper shredder that had just been at the company up the road shredding documents, and it fell in and shredded on you. That's almost what happened there to Zion Williamson.
So much into it. Obviously, there's always a West Virginia angle to every story. Every story. And there is a West Virginia angle to this story. So I did some research prior to today's show, because I think you may be surprised. What happened to Zion Williamson's shoe yesterday is not the same as perhaps a meteor hitting your house. It actually happens more often than you would think. And I haven't asked Nathan about this yet, but I'll give you some info on this. So, firstly, have you ever blown out a shoe similar to what Zion Williamson did?
Not to the extent. I've never blown out the entire side. I've blown out the bottom of them before in the middle of a game.
Blown at the bottom. So yeah. How'd that look when
so
that
just
happened?
The bottom, basically the glue comes off and it just flops.
It flops. Have you ever seen anyone blow a shoe out like Zion Williamson?
Not completely.
Not completely. So I asked WVU's equipment man, Stevie Beer, who has been in the business for many, many years. I gave him a call. I said, Steve, talk to me about this, what you saw last night. He said, you would be surprised that that actually does happen. It all depends, he said, on how guys cut and obviously their weight. That guy's 270 plus pounds. But he said Deshaun Butler, on average, would go through between 8 to 10 pairs of shoes a season. And he said Deshaun would blow out 5 or 6 pairs of shoes. So that might surprise a lot of people. That was not lightning striking last night. That actually does happen. He says a lot of it has to do, again, how you plant. You remember Deshaun used to stop really hard,
mm-hmm.
right? He used to be a big, like, just jump on it and stop, and you stress that shoe. He also said a lot of it has to do with how much guys perspire. Because if you got a guy that sweats a ton in his feet, that obviously makes the shoe hotter. What's it do? It loosens the glue. And so, you know, over a period of time. Now, maybe Zion Williamson went out there last night. There's a couple things going on here. Maybe he really cranks it up in warm-ups and does get really super hot and sweaty. But also, that is a new shoe. There's something that's called flywire that they use on these shoes. That's a Paul George shoe that he was wearing last night. They did something different. They didn't use flywire. They used instead, they used a different, what the heck am I looking at? The Velcro thing that you put over the top. Different strap. A different strap to tighten the thing up. And obviously, they got a flaw. They got an engineering flaw. So, a couple of things on this. If that did not injure him, if he just would have slid, the shoe blows out, he doesn't tweak his knee, he takes the shoe, unties it, throws it over to the bench, the equipment guy throws him another shoe, he tightens it up, and he goes and he plays.
Yes.
The difference is, he got hurt. And as you said, from Nike's standpoint, I mean, can you imagine the vomit?
Somebody threw up last night.
I mean, can you imagine the puke level of the people at Nike? Someone sitting from Nike, I'm sure there are people inside the building at Cameron. There are Nike people all over in Oregon, right? The high-level people, they get back. They got big 79, maybe 99-inch TV at home. They're fired up. It's a Nike showcase, right? Jordan brand for North Carolina. Duke's Nike. Those folks get in there. They're fired up. They're going to watch the game at 6 o'clock out in Oregon, right? They're just, like, ready to go. And that happens. And I bet you people physically started to perspire. If they didn't puke, they perspired over what happened.
Well, there's no question, because that's one of the stories. Is Nike a faulty product? So you got that going. You've got the whole debate on, okay, here you are, schools. You're taking millions upon millions of dollars from these athletic equipment suppliers, and I'm telling Nathan Adrian, you must wear this shoe, even though that may not be the best for him. So that whole debate is in there. And then again, the long-term ramifications, if Williamson had been hurt, whether it was Nike's shoe's fault or not, whether Adidas would have blown out or not, the stigma attached to that would have been monumental on all sides.
And it will be. Does he now, and we're really getting off the horse here, does Zion Williamson right now put an X through Nike and go, I'm not signing with him? Right? There are hundreds of millions of dollars potentially that Zion Williamson will make from a shoe company in his career. Did Nike just check out?
No.
You don't think so?
No, that could have happened to any shoe.
I understand that,
but... He would know that.
You know, when I talked to Stevie...
I bet you that's not his first shoe he's blown out from anywhere.
I understand, but I talked to Steve. You know what Stevie says? A lot of times guys that have a shoe on that blows out, they'll never wear that shoe again. They'll just say, I'm done with it. You remember when Under Armour came out and started to get into the business? Their shoes
blew out all the time.
Yeah,
they blew out
early. Yeah.
Bad early. They blew out all of the time.
I think we can all. It certainly helps that was Nike. If there's somebody that's going to sustain a shoe blowout to a high profile guy, that's the company. If this is Puma, who's just gotten back in the game, who by the way had a tweet last night that had to delete that. If that's a new newer shoe brand, I know Puma's
done.
Been around forever. That's the brand that takes a hit. Nike is the behemoth here.
Yeah. Anyway, so a bunch of interesting stuff. And your other West Virginia angle on Duke, North Carolina, was that Mike Eads from Princeton officiated the game. And Ron Groover, who's not from Princeton, although Brad went on a cruise last spring with his parents.
Very lovely people, in fact. Lovely people, the parents. I don't know him at all.
Well, he ejected Hugs from the game recently at Iowa State. But you just ran into his mom and dad on a cruise.
Yeah, in the waiting area before we got on the bus. And the Groover's dad, very nice, just started up conversation, found out what I did. And he said, oh, my son's a referee. Ron Groover.
There you go. All right, let's jump in here. West Virginia and the Baylor Bears coming up on Saturday. This Baylor team's pretty wild story, man. They're picked 9th in the league. And they are out here right now, and they are sniffing at the upper half of this conference finish.
Tony, they're just two out of first.
I know
we're getting down a number of games, but they're in that bunch that's really bunched up between, well, really between what, 1 and 6 is really pretty tightly packed.
So I did some number study here. This is not a good matchup for West Virginia.
it's not?
No. I said that last week when we played Kansas State because of their ability to defend. Well, here's a couple of numbers that kind of scare you a little bit. Baylor can score. These numbers I'm giving you are all – I throw away the non-conference portion of the season at this point. Since you've played 13 league games, that's really what matters. You're playing against one another. So these are all the Big 12 numbers, and they're relatively close to the overall numbers, but they're Big 12 numbers. Kansas is the number one scoring team in the league at 74, and then it's Iowa State at 73, and Baylor's right there as well. Baylor's third in the Big 12 in scoring. West Virginia, you guessed it, dead last at 63 points per game. So Baylor is averaging 10 more points per contest. Not exactly what you want to see. West Virginia is also dead last in allowing points, giving up 76, and Baylor is sixth in that category. They give up 70. Free throw percentage, duck on Saturday. Baylor's 9. West Virginia is 10. So be ready for rebounds when the ball goes up from the free throw line. Field goal percentage, Baylor can shoot at their fourth best in the league. West Virginia is 10th. West Virginia is the only team in the Big 12 shooting under 40% from the field.
To go further, you look into some of those efficiency numbers. We always talk about the advanced stats. To your point on Baylor offensively, number one in the league in offensive efficiency. Here's where West Virginia gets in trouble. Here's where the matchup's poor. Number one in offensive rebounding percentage, Baylor is. That's really about the only thing West Virginia does well is on the glass, and especially offensive rebounds. So the one advantage West Virginia takes into games generally over teams is negated because Baylor actually does that better than anybody else in the league.
Here's the scariest category. Ready? Three-point shooting. Baylor is the number one team in the Big 12 in three-point percentage. 38% is what they make from behind the line. West Virginia is dead last in defending the three. West Virginia has allowed teams to shoot 36% from three-point range. In fact, it's a three-way tie. Depending on which way you want to look at this stat, there's a three-way tie for eighth or a three-way tie for 10th. Oklahoma State, Texas, and West Virginia all are at .359, so they're giving up basically 36% from three-point range. Brad mentioned the offense. This is what the scary category is here. Baylor really rebounds the ball well, and West Virginia, now you've lost Ahmad, you've lost Harris, you've lost your ability, really, right, to at least think about rebounding. Right now, Baylor leads the Big 12 in offensive rebounds, and they are number one in defensive rebounds. West Virginia is still holding its water. WVU is third in the league in offensive rebounds and fourth in rebounding defense, but those stats obviously are skewed because they were with Ahmad and Harris, with the exception of one game. What else do we have here? I guess two games now. We've played two games without those guys. What else stands out? Assists. Baylor leads the Big 12 in assists. 15 a game. West Virginia's dead last.
Can you read a stat we're not dead last in?
Well, I'm trying.
There's not many.
Steals.
The stat sheet's ugly, Nate.
Steals, they're tied for fifth. West Virginia's and Baylor's at 7th. Turnover margin, Baylor's 9. West Virginia's 10. Assist to turnover ratio.
Dead last.
Baylor's 3. West Virginia's 10. You get the picture, man. You get the picture. So, it got me thinking here. It got me thinking. Did some other ciphering, Senator. It was all right with you. And I said, what's going on there, Baylor? How'd they put this roster together? They're picked 9th.
Mm-hmm.
They were picked 9th, and they're sitting here, right?
Only brought back, I think, 3 guys from last year's roster, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, listen. So let me walk you all through this. And I think what this is college basketball today, and it's so different from what it used to be, even 15 years ago, 10 years ago maybe. You didn't see this kind of roster construction. They have 16 players on their roster. You can have 13 on scholarship, right? And obviously the rest are, these guys are walk-ons that bring you up to the 16. Only seven of their players, I should change it, seven of the 16 came to Baylor after they had already played at another college. Seven out of their 16. Two are sitting out as transfers this season. Two of the guys that are playing now sat out last season as transfers. Their roster is this. They've got four true freshmen. They've got four sophomores on their roster. And only one of those sophomores has been in the program and came in as a freshman. Out of their four sophomores, they've only got one that was there for 2 years. And that's Tristan Clark, and he's their best player, and he's out with an injury. Mario Kegler's a sophomore, came in from Mississippi State. Mark Vidal is a redshirt, and Davion Mitchell is a transfer from Auburn. They've got five juniors. Darius Allen, junior college. Deontay Bandu, junior college. Maceo Teague, UNC Asheville, transfer. Obim Okeke, walked in from the football team. Freddie Gillespie, who just went off in their last game against Iowa State, came from Division III Carleton College up in Minnesota. They've got three seniors. King McClure has been there for his whole four seasons. Jake Lindsey would have been a senior, but he's sitting out the entire season because of injury. He will be back next year. And then Makai Mason, the post-grad transfer from Yale, is currently fourth in the Big 12 in scoring. The point to all that is this. Man, it has changed when it comes to roster construction. And I'm not messing with these guys or jacking with them or anything like that. I'm just saying that's the world that we live in. And West Virginia doesn't have anyone sitting out this season, you know, as far as transfers go. Everyone's kind of always got a couple in their pocket that they're sitting out with. That right now isn't the case for WVU. You wish you did, because at least those guys go through everything and they're totally up to speed on what you're running and how the world works, but that's not the case for West Virginia. And the reason I bring this up, obviously, is because this West Virginia roster needs to go through a major, major reconstruction in this upcoming offseason to get things back to where they need to be.
It's interesting. We talk so often about new guys in the program, whether they're freshmen first year, whether they're JUCO transfers, what have you. What's the hit rate? I mean, you can bring in six, seven, eight new guys. How many of those guys are going to actually hit and be productive? It's not like just because you bring in a new guy, he's instantly good. Think about the hit rate they've had with that roster turnover that's allowed them to be the surprise of the Big 12 season. You just a guy from what? Division III Carleton College?
Up there, Carleton College.
So you got that. And your best player, one of the best in the league, was at Yale. Now, who would have thought that a Division III guy could go up to that level, this level, and a guy could come in from Yale and be as productive as they have been? So when you talk about hit rate there, they hit two grand slams right there with guys that you would never have thought they would give you that. That's what you need when you're changing over a roster. You've got to have a little bit of luck involved in that a couple of those guys hit and perform right away. That's hard to get.
Well, you got to remember, Makai Mason is the one who beat them in the tournament just, what, 2 years ago, a year
couple
ago?
Years, several years ago, yeah. Several years
so
ago.
So I think they were very aware of what he was capable of doing.
You got to find those guys, though. You got to go find – you're right, though, man. I mean
– but it's still – I mean, all due respect, I know he had a good NCAA tournament game. I know the story. I know that's where he came from. How many teams now look across that and missed on Makai Mason?
Tons.
How many Division I schools are there?
Well, let's go back a step. Let you talk about a hit rate. And when we say hit rate, in other words, how many guys that are going to come in next season can you count on to be productive players? If you get 50%, you're really, really good. You're really lucky. If you bring in six guys.
Oh, yeah. And you get three of them?
And three of them can play instantly, like be productive game in and game out, that's a huge get. It doesn't happen that way.
That's what I'm saying. And then there's two that have not only hit but been highly productive from unlikely sources.
Yeah. All right, so we came out of last game and we said this, that these Mountaineers battled and played hard against Kansas State on Monday. I think you'll see the same thing. Don't know if Beetle Bolden will be ready to go or not. That certainly would help. He's been on the shelf a long time, right? It's been 3 weeks. since he hasn't played. So you just can't, even if he does go, I mean, how, what's his wind, what's his ability, you don't know. So that's going to be difficult to get all straightened up. But we'll see. We'll battle. 2 o'clock is the tip-off time, and then West Virginia will be off until relatively quick turnaround, not a Monday, but a Tuesday, and the Horned Frogs of TCU will come into town, and we'll get it all figured out. Pepperoni rolls. Pepperoni rolls, I got an email, and apparently, Nate, our conversation about pepperoni rolls has ignited an international cook-off. Now we've got a gentleman from the state of Ohio, and he is going to make next Wednesday and ship, I believe, for next Thursday, pepperoni rolls. He guarantees these are the single best pepperoni rolls in the world, and he wants us to try them. So we're totally in.
Isaac. Now, to be fair, he did say the best in Ohio. You added that in the world part of that.
Ohio's part of the world. I would
accuracy
have to
say.
I think if you would ask Isaac, are they the best in the world, I think he would probably say that's the case. So anyway, that's coming up. And I also heard from the guy from Australia. Stuff's on the way.
Well, good, because this is now two episodes where we haven't eaten anything live on the air, which is a problem.
Do we know what's coming from Australia?
I know that Vegemite is involved. You winced there. Have you been to Australia?
Nope. Has the word veggie in it.
Well, it's actually made out of, it's the remnants of beer yeast.
You're gaining on me.
Seriously.
And you're sure that can legally get in the country?
Yeah, you can buy it on Amazon. Yeah. They say you either like it or you puke it. One of the two. I mean, it's absolutely one of the two. So we'll find out. Thanks for listening in, everybody. People checking in from all over the place. We do appreciate it. We're going to go, let's see, not to make you're watching a live discussion on when we do the next show. Do you go Monday since we play Tuesday, or do you go, I just threw you a curveball, didn't I? We play Tuesday. Do we do Monday, or you go Monday?
Got to go Monday, because you got to wrap this, and it is called Three Guys Before the Game, so we'll hit the before of that next game. Monday.
Deal. Monday it will be. And then we'll go again Thursday.
Correct.
Go Monday, Thursday. And we'll check out that out and see how she all shakes out. A reminder, our program each and every week is brought to us by BetLucky. It is the sports betting app that you can put in your pocket and you can wager as long as you're over the age of 21 and in the state of West Virginia whenever you want. And right now, when you download, you'll get 2 times your first bet back in bonus money up to 20 bucks. Give me something you saw this week on BetLucky that made you go, wow.
I don't know if I had a wow moment. You want to make a prediction?
Yes, you did.
What'd I say?
The Tennessee-Vanderbilt game, it was a 17-point spread, and you said the pro money was going like, stay away
all
from
over
that.
No, it was going all over Vanderbilt.
All over Vanderbilt, yeah.
Yeah, because Tennessee was coming off that beat down at the hands of Kentucky. They were playing a Vanderbilt team that was no good.
Yeah.
Who won that side?
Yeah, it was a close game.
Vanderbilt. I mean, they lost the game, but won the deal.
All right, so we're out, man. Music's on. Thanks for being with us, everyone. This was the Footloose and Sassy edition. Nathan Adrian has also blown out sneakers. Not quite the same way Zion did, but then again, Nathan didn't have a $8 million insurance policy on him. He just went back to Stevie and said, have another pair of shoes. We're out, man. Thanks for being with us. Three guys before the game. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. See you.